We are in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, and I want to encourage you to turn there. We're going to be looking at one verse from there and some other verses related to this passage. Albuquerque has several tall, impressive buildings, not quite like New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles, but we have quite a few tall buildings, especially downtown. But it's kind of interesting because this is really sandy soil around here. What in the world keeps those things standing upright? You know, they have to have something to hold them upright, keeping them straight with such sandy soil. As you are probably very well aware, before any tall building, especially skyscraper, can be built, deep pits have to be dug to find bedrock. If the soil is too deep, I know that up in Grand Junction, when they were building the boys' dorm for the college that I went to, the soil was so deep and so far down to bedrock that they drove steel pilings down into the ground until they hit bedrock. And then on top of that bedrock, they will pour a foundation, or on those steel pilings, they'll form the gridwork of steel and iron and pour the concrete around them to form a nice, smooth foundation in order to build the rest of the building. And of course, the bigger the building, the more foundation you need, right? Otherwise, if you don't, your building will not last very long. And you can't add anything extra down the road if you didn't plan for it when you were building the foundation. Otherwise, you end up with something called the Leaning Tower of Pisa, or it will collapse totally. You know, they have been in great efforts to maintain the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Companies have been called, and they've gone in and tried to create a new foundation underneath that massive stone structure to try to keep it upright. A lot of people don't realize that thing would be flat on the ground if it hadn't been for some marvelous engineering in the last decades. Because they failed to build a proper foundation under it to start with. You need to have that strong structure underneath in order to uphold all of the weight that you plan on putting on it. Jesus Christ states that people who hear his words and obey them are like the wise builder who builds his house on the rock. And he's implying that he is the rock. We need to build our lives upon him. But people who fail to obey his words are like people who are foolish and build their houses in the desert sands of New Mexico or someplace else, any other sand anywhere in the world. We need to be sure to build our lives on the rock, Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John alone, Jesus calls for people to believe in him as the Savior over 50 times, using the term believe in him. Belief in him and various forms. And that's just in the term believe, let alone all the other various forms. There's other forms of the word belief that imply the same thing. Faith, trust, conviction, assurance. All of these are critical items, important factors in our relationship with God to believe in him, to trust in him, to be convinced that God's way is right. We are assured, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. John 3:16 and following, Jesus is speaking, telling us that belief in his words and actions, if we obey him, it leads to eternal life. But those who disbelieve, those who do not follow his words, are promised, assured, eternal condemnation. That is the forecast for people, period. God says you're either for me or you're against me. You must be believers in me if you want eternal life. Faith in the deity of Jesus is a major and necessary component in the lives of all who desire to serve God and to have eternal life. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We have to be searching for Him and finding Him through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. But can we walk up to God's throne and say, howdy, my name is Jose, my name's Dave, my name's Sarah, my name's whatever? No, we can't go right up to the throne. We have to wait until He calls us out of this world. So it takes belief, it takes faith that God is real. Do we limit our faith in the power of Jesus? Do we limit our faith in the power of His name? Or do we live right in the center of faith, working in faith, walking hand in hand with God, the Creator? Last week we reviewed the story of the man who was healed, who was born lame. He'd been lame from birth for over 40 years. And he was on the way to the temple at the same time Peter and John were on the way to the temple. And he was asking them for alms, for money, because he was a beggar. That was the only way he could get his income. But Peter and John, they didn't have any money. But Peter said, what we do have, we'll give to you. Was it Peter and John that healed this man? Or was it something else? If it wasn't them, what brought about the miracle for this lame man? Pray with me before we read this passage. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for life. We thank You for Your great love for us, so much so that You have given us a multitude of people who have warned us, who have written down Scriptures. We have had people in our lives who have helped us and taught us and encouraged us and directed us to Your path. You give us Your Spirit. You give us the Scriptures. Father, we have all these things, and yet there's a majority of the world who do not believe in You. They don't follow You. Father, give us the strength to have the faith that is necessary to not just believe in You, but to live for You and to work for You, to serve You, to honor You, to allow You to work through us. Thank You for faith. Thank You for all the evidences that we have, all the testimonies. Father, we thank You most of all for Your living within us, through Your Spirit, through Jesus. We thank You for the faith of those who've gone before us. We ask for strength to press on in Your will and in Your way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is just one verse, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 16. That's what kind of threw me, 3:16. You know, I try to just revert back to John, but we're in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 16. This one verse, the Apostle Peter is speaking to a crowd that is gathered around them along with his lame man. And he says, and on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through Him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Faith in the name of Jesus provided the healing. Faith in the name of Jesus provided the healing. In verse 12, Peter denies that he nor John were capable of such a miracle. They couldn't do it on their own. He gave all of the credit of the miracle to who? To Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who healed this man. The faith of Peter and John in Jesus is well established throughout the scripture. They had been eyewitnesses of the numerous miracles with the Lord for 3.5 years. They had observed multitudes healed from lameness, from blindness, from deafness, all types of sickness. They had watched Jesus provide food for thousands. You remember? How many men were in the first group? 5,000. The second group came along a couple days later, 4,000. And that's just counting the men. All this provided just through a handful of food to begin with. They had seen that. They had observed it. They had passed out the food. They had picked up the leftovers. They were personally involved. They were witnesses that Jesus could walk on water. He could kill a tree with just a curse. That he could calm a storm with one little phrase, "Peace be still." And they were observant enough to notice that he disappeared floating up into heaven. They were all eyewitnesses. The disciples saw Jesus raised from the dead. He was dead. They'd seen him hanging on the cross. They knew he was buried. And next thing you know, he's showing up, appearing right there in the locked room with them. And not only does he have power to raise himself, but he raised other people from the dead. They had faith in him. They had seen him over and over and over again. John's gospel ends with these words, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." John says, we just have a tidbit, a drop of all the things Jesus did during his ministry here in this world. But it's enough to convince us if we will believe. Will we believe the testimony of these eyewitnesses? Jesus had taught the disciples to believe in him. Jesus had encouraged them to have faith like a mustard seed in order to move a mountain. Peter had personally walked on the water. Peter had had his biggest catch of fish when he listened to Jesus. They'd been out fishing all night long, hadn't caught a single fish. And the carpenter on the shore said, "Hey, why don't you throw your net out over there?" And they caught so much they had the boat overflowing with fish. That had never happened before. What does this carpenter know about fishing? Peter realized he was more than a carpenter. And remember the day they didn't have any tax money? Peter said, "Just go down and catch one fish and look what's in his mouth. Go pay our taxes with it for both of us." We talked about that last week. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in his power and his guidance. The book of Acts is talking about that power working in the apostles, working in the church itself. The church had begun with the power of God's Spirit just a few weeks before. And the Spirit moved through the apostles to walk up to this man and offer him something that he didn't expect. This guy was expecting some money. Peter and John said, "We don't have any money." What was going on in the guy's mind? "Well, what are you talking to me for? I need money. But what I do have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." Poof. Was he expecting that? Did he believe that Peter and John could make him walk? He didn't even have time to process the sentence before he was walking. What in the world's going on? But God knew what he needed and gave him the ability to walk. First time ever in his life. Immediately. Was it the man's faith? He didn't have any faith. He didn't know what to believe. It was the belief of Peter and John in the power of the name of Jesus. God was glorified through this miracle of faith. The apostles gave all of the credit to Jesus Christ and used the attention that came, that they gained at that point to this gathering crowd to preach about Jesus as the Savior of all mankind. A little bit later, Acts chapter 4, verse 22 reveals that this man was over 40 years old and had never walked before. It was a true miracle that it occurred. God, the Creator, took and formed bone and muscle and sinew and nervous connections and blood vessels and the acuity to walk and to leap and to jump and to run immediately. How long did it take you to learn how to walk? How many months? How many of you still walk perfectly? Never fall down. I mean, this guy had never walked. And immediately, he's not just walking, he's running and jumping. I can barely jump anymore. And he's doing it immediately. The power of God. Faith in the name of Jesus provided the healing. And it was total and complete. Beyond their expectations. Faith is still the basis of living today. Do we have faith in the power in the name of Jesus? The question is, what are you basing your faith in? Do you believe that you have total control of your life? Do you believe that your job will always be there? Do you believe that your health is going to be perfectly fine for the rest of eternity? Do you believe that the government is going to provide everything you need? Or do you believe you're going to live forever? Or do you believe that you need a Savior? What do you put your belief in? What was that last one? We all need a Savior. And Jesus came as that Savior. Scripture defines faith for us. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The chapter then goes on and lists numerous biblical characters who live by faith. Faith in God, not in themselves, but faith in God for their daily well-being, their protection, and their care. By faith, we believe God created the entire universe. I wasn't here, and Mr. Ed wasn't here when God created this universe, right? Not even Brother Bob was here when God created this universe. But we believe the story of the Bible. Now, a lot of people try to discredit it and wash it away. No, it's just a big bang that happened because it just happened. Because perfection always comes out of chaos, right? Baloney. No, baloney doesn't come out of it either. We believe God's Word. That he spoke nothing into something. We believe that Enoch was taken out of this world and did not have to suffer death. We believe that Noah constructed a huge ark at the direction of God and saved his family and a representation of all the animal kingdom. We believe that Moses confronted Pharaoh and delivered Israel to freedom from slavery. I wasn't there, but the scripture records it. And it's God's word, and God speaks truth, so I believe. Do you? We believe in the stories of Gideon, the stories of Samson, the story of the other judges that gave Israel mighty victories over enemies and more. The message of belief is from the very beginning through the very end. Faith and belief is critical in our analysis and reception of the Bible. By faith, we accept the Bible as truth and as the very Word of God. We believe that God's Spirit inspired the many authors to write down God's truth for people to use as their daily guide 4,000 years ago and still true today. God's truth does not change. It is always true. We read about the truth of God in Psalm 119. 175 verses for you to memorize tonight. Well, at least read it. About the truth. God's word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. What good is God's word? You're told right there. Will you employ it? No other book so accurately reveals our past history, our present condition, and our need and assurance of perfection forever. Faith requires us to take appropriate action on our part. Peter reached out and grabbed the invalid man and yanked him to his feet before the guy had a chance to realize what was going on. Because Peter believed the man could walk. And he walked. And jumped. Abraham built an altar. Put wood on it. Bound his son up and laid his son on the altar. Isaac was laying there. He'd asked his dad earlier about where's the lamb. What did Dad say? God will provide. And Abraham reaches out, takes the knife, and is ready to strike before God did what? Provided the lamb. David picked up 5 stones and ran towards Goliath. Twirling his sling, saying, "You defy the living God." Cast that stone, and it struck right where God wanted it to strike. The stories go on. 3 Hebrews walking into a fiery furnace. If God wants us to live, He'll protect us. If He doesn't, so what? We still believe in the living God. The stories are great. The stories are there to inspire us, to remind us that God is real. The faith of Jesus never failed him in performing the constant miracles, the preaching of the Word of God, revealing the lies and the deceptions of Satan and his workers, and returning to Jerusalem, walking right into the lion's den. Because Jesus knew he had to give his life. Because Jesus knew that it wouldn't end on the cross. It wouldn't end in the grave because Jesus was going to what? He's going to rise again. On the third day. So be ready, guys. And where were they on the third day? They were hiding. They were hiding. They didn't understand. But then they saw and they believed. And now they are filled with that belief and they are working in that belief. And they go through the trials and heartaches through the rest of the book of Acts until their dying day, believing in the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is power. Jesus is salvation. Believe in Him. With God, all things are possible. Believe. Through faith in God, the founders of our nation separated from Britain and engaged in war to win the freedom to worship. Through faith, a handful of people established Valley Christian Church, persisting in worship, study, and commitment, building and preaching. By faith, we will continue to reach out to the neighbors with the gospel. Will you join in belief that we have the message of truth? Faith in Jesus is the basis for your commitment to steadily come week after week. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to give financially so the Word of God can be proclaimed more and more. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to live righteously in a corrupted world that wants you to serve Satan. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to read and study God's Word on your own and with us in a group setting. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to wisely and boldly share your love of Jesus with others. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to invite others to worship Jesus Christ with you every week. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you to seek forgiveness and reconciliation when you sin. Faith in Jesus is the basis for you, for every one of us, to obey His commands of confessing our sin, turning away from sin, being buried in the waters of baptism, proclaiming the name of Jesus, for living in a society that is anti-God. Faith in Jesus is the basis for us to do our very best at work, serving God, not men. Faith in Jesus is the basis for all of us to work as one body for the glory of our Master, our Lord, Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Faith in Jesus is the basis for us to live each day for His glory. Will we live in faith? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's be faithful. Believe in the power and the guidance of your Creator. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your grace, Your mercies, Your faithfulness to us, Your continued provision, Your continued watching care over us, Your continued empowerment in our lives, Your continued presence through Your Spirit. Thank You for Your Word of life that remains true forever, unchanging. Thank You that Jesus is coming again in power and glory and majesty, that a new home is prepared for us. Thank You for belief, for those who have shared theirs with us, that we can share our belief with others. Let us be Your people, committed to Your ways, guided by Your Spirit, the words of Your truth, Your Scriptures. Thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.